discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life. And most importantly, in business. On Sudden Eye Impact with your host, Lee. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than, greater than. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than. Yes, and your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes a difference. Hello and welcome. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee, coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. On our show, we have fun together, we learn together, and we encourage one another. On the Sudden Eye Impact Show, we discuss a variety of topics such as, but not limited to, personal responsibility, accountability, support systems, accountability partners, creative vision, belief systems, the power of belief, the power of thought, the power of partnership, the power of words, entrepreneurship, innovation, visionary leadership, creativity, consciousness, awareness, being the observer, service, finances, the mind, relationships, goal setting, and goal attainment, to name a few. On our show, we share concepts, principles, processes, and systems that work, if you work them, that deliver good and great results. The show's mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, mental health, health, and overall peace through utilizing their own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing electrifying and energetic and powerful content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change their life for the better or to change their life for the best. Today, our first guest is Jacqueline Delarue. She's an author of Wherrywart, a self-mastery book, brand new book. You can find her on LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. You can find her anywhere. So with no further ado, Ms. Jacqueline Delarue, you have the floor.
Good afternoon, America. It's so great to listen to me and be open to my story. I'm calling in from the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, which is one of the beautiful sunshine states of Australia. And it's about 9 a.m. here, so I'm looking at a beautiful blue sky and glorious sunshine, and it's probably about 20 degrees. It's awesome to be here. I just wanted to provide you with my vision. My vision is to provide Wherrywarts with a fun, learning, collaborative space to become worry-free. And that's exactly why I've written my book, Worry, A Wherrywarts Guide to Self-Mastery. I go through and define how much of a worrywart you actually are. It's basically less thinking that you have less years in front of you than behind you. Perhaps you are getting older in life and you're thinking that time's running out. Perhaps you hear white noise. You find it hard to switch off and find that inner peace. And little noises irritate you. It might be the barking of a dog or your kids. And it's just that constant frustration with lack of finding inner peace. Perhaps you've got an inability to switch off and you suffer from an overthinking brain. The mind is just always ticking over. Trouble sleeping, that's a big one, especially between the hours of 1 and 3 when our body has the ability to heal and to rest and find that really deep healing sleep. You could be a worrywart that's having trouble sleeping and is awake half the night worrying about things that are out of our control. The pandemic, for example, COVID-19, totally out of our control, politics. So it's about looking at what's within our circle of influence and understanding how much of our time is spent with worrying about things that we have no control over. perhaps you struggle with boundaries. Boundaries where you're overgiving and oversharing and have this inability to say no. You can feel it. You feel that worry in your stomach. And it's that knot, it's that deep churning knot in the pit of your stomach, which is also what I call the second brain. You know, we've got a brain in our head and also a brain in our tummy. The brain in our tummy is that strong intuition, strong connection to mind and body. The body's telling us that something's not right, that we're out of rapport with our unconscious mind and we are at unease and perhaps dis-ease with ourselves. Perhaps you're overly proactive and efficient to the detriment of you and your family. You know, you're working a lot, perhaps a workaholic, and things are out of balance. And there might be somebody, something in your wheel of life that's missing. You know, you should be in balance with your health and your relationships and fun things in your life. And perhaps one part of your life is a little bit too one-sided to the detriment of you where you're feeling it and your family. Perhaps you're juggling kids, clients and work but not really doing a very good job at any of it, and it's like you've got, you know, you can picture this clown and you've got all the balls juggling in the air and you're trying really hard to catch all of them, but one keeps dropping all the time and it's just not making sense. There's perhaps this constant mind chatter and negative self-talk. You find yourself more in the negative rather than the positive. So I often try and catch my coaching clients with that and reframe it from the negative to the positive. Perhaps we're trying too hard to keep up with the Joneses. We're looking around and thinking, well, my neighbour's got a better car than me, or I should have a bigger house, and I'll be happier when I've, you know, got this extra material thing that's actually quite the opposite. It can be quite unfulfilling emotionally. Perhaps you're stuck in the past where something tragic has happened and you can't quite move forward. So it could be something that's happened to you as a child, or even before that in the womb. We underestimate how much of our ancestry does flow through energetically through our gene line. So this is my worrywart story. I'm a worrywart, let's face it. Always have been, probably always will. I wonder what I would be or be like if I didn't worry. I go to all of these executive assistant conferences and they talk about confidence all the time. And I look at myself and all I see is an anxious mess in one form or another. I googled anxiety and found out that worry is about the future instead of being present in the now. What I wouldn't do to be grounded in my body, present to my life, to my children, to my partner, to my friends. Instead, here I go again, scrolling through Facebook, making myself feel bad about myself. I don't exercise enough. I don't eat right. Let's buy some stuff. Let's drink some more wine. I know, I've got a solution. Let's scroll through Facebook again. I'm so busy being busy. I'm flat out being busy. I don't have time for myself. I don't have time to be a good mum. I don't have time to be a great partner. I don't have time to love myself. In fact, I hate myself. I'm a big fat failure. I hate my job. I hate my home. I hate the chaos. I hate my car. I hate my clothes. I hate my handbag. I hate my food. I hate my choices. Oh my God, I'm nearly 40 and only just realizing that I've been sold a lie. The fairy tale that does not exist. Prince Charming is not coming to save me. I might actually just have to save myself. I might have to kiss myself and awake from this terrible nightmare. Oh my God, I'm such a drama queen. Am I being too dramatic? Maybe I should be grateful. Maybe I should stop and appreciate all of my blessings. Not everyone has a car. Not everyone has a partner. Not everyone has the children they've always dreamed of. Not everyone has a roof over their heads. Not everyone has a kitchen. Not everyone has a job. Now I feel calmer. I breathe. But for how long? Now I'm just wondering if anyone in the audience listening can relate to any of that. And it might not be from an executive assistant level. It could be at any level. It could be parents in the audience. It could be executive workers. It could be farmers. It could be anyone. So what I want everyone to do is part of your connection with me, because I really value relationships, is I encourage anyone in America to write down your worry wart story and email it to me. You can find me on my website, which is www.worrywart.com.au. Because what I do is I take you on a journey. And the journey ahead is what we do is we uncover your worry pain points and triggers and help you understand your worry. And basically, by focusing on it and bringing it to the surface, that's part of the first step of the journey. And it's about being radically honest with yourself. Because honesty is hard, but it's one of the things that will bring it all up to the surface and help you face it. We look at family and our impacts that our family have had from, especially the ages of 0 to 7, where we were like a sponge. We listened to everything that our parents said or our grandparents said, and that formed the basis of our makeup today. I look at self-leadership and how you carry yourself in the world, what skills you have, your emotional intelligence, how you understand you and how then you understand others. And then I look at spirituality and how that's looking at basically that we are one, and that we are one of something bigger than us, and that there is a deep energetic connection, and that we are beautiful as nature, as beautiful as the trees and the things that the great Lord designed for us, and just recognizing that beauty. One of my clients actually loves to hike up the French Alps, and she says she feels the most peace when she hiked all the way up to the top of the French Alps, and she says she just sits at the top, and it's almost like she's breathless with the sheer beauty, and that's her form of meditation. She said, I can't meditate, but I can hike a mountain and sit at the top, and I feel at peace. I look at health and well-being. My great-grand used to say, your health is your wealth. Without it, you can't, you know, if you're sick and you can't work or do your job, then how are you supposed to earn an income? So it's about focusing on your health. What are you eating? Are you eating things that are giving you life? Have you got all of the colours of the rainbow on your plate? Are you eating mindfully? Are you letting your body digest properly? You know, there's a whole array of things that I could go on with about health and well-being. I look at emotions. Often it's easy to bury emotions. Who wants to talk about emotions? We're told, you know, I was told as a child, just, you know, get on with it. And I was probably the most sensitive out of my whole family. And I learned to bury my emotions in the corporate world, especially. You know, you just, you know, you're dealing with very masculine energies, and it's all very goal-driven, and it's not okay to cry or get upset or feel things. You're just told, just get on with it. So yeah, facing our emotions is really important, because there's some deep negative emotions like anger, sadness, hurt, shame, fear, that if I can go in and give everyone a little bit of a spring clean, you'll feel a lot lighter and you'll be able to move forward with joy, happiness, courage, and all of the positive emotions. I look at healing the feminine and the masculine, so that's recognising that we've got both inside. So we've got a very soft, flowy energy, even as a male, and we also have this sort of less flowy energy and more driven and time focused. But if you're in the feminine, you're sort of more thinking that you know, you can lose track of time, you get lost in the moment. You know, when you're painting, an artist will often just paint and paint for hours, and they might not realize that they've actually been painting for for 8 hours when, you know, they looked at their clock and said, I only just thought I just started. And I look at attachment. So that's the essence that you're attached to something outside of yourself and you're seeking happiness from that. Where I believe we've got a lot of the answers within if you just take the time to tap into that resource and trust that you know and you've got the answers, because who knows you best? You. And there's only one of you, and we're all, you know, built this unique, beautiful creatures. So I want you guys to honour that. I look at perception and perspective. So often when we're deep in worry, we can lose perspective on things. We become like, can you imagine, like horses with blinkers on in a race, and you can't see outside of your mess and your worry and your chaos. So I give you some tips and tricks on how to look at things from another perspective, or also if you were at the top of the French Alps and looking down on yourself as from an aeroplane or an aerial view. And ultimately, I help you find your joy and your passion and your happy place. And my biggest goal and value is freedom. So it's about finding your freedom, because when you are stuck in, and a lot of people are stuck in their pain and their worry, and it's about loosening all of that up and working together to ultimately find that beautiful freedom, all of those positive emotions, and building in those beautiful resources and tools to help you to move forward. So it's quite easy to work with me. Easy next step is we start the journey. So I encourage you to do 3 things today. If there's anything that I want you to do, it's these top 3 things. It's send me your worry wart story. Secondly, book into a free discovery session. So you'll find me again at my website, www.worrywart.com.au. Don't forget the AU, because I am in Australia. And you'll also note that my number one bestseller, Worry, A Worry Wart's Guide to Self-Mastery, is available for sale on there, and it's being distributed all throughout the world at the moment. And I just want to say thank you for having me and listening to me, and for allowing me to be heard on your radio show today. And I'm excited to share my story and be able to, and I understand your pain, and I want to work with people in the future to be worry-free. So thank you.
Thank you. You're live on the Sudden Impact Show with your host Lee from the DFW Metroplex. Quote, the desire to be important is the deepest urge in human nature, period, end of quote, John Dewey. Quote, the deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated, period, end of quote, William James. Now I'll be going to my second guest. My next guest is a transformational leader, thought leader, success coach, dream traveler. His name is Jarren Banks. He has a huge goal to help 1 billion people live life by design and do what they love and enjoy. With no further ado, I would like to introduce to you Mr. Jarren Banks.
Thank you, Dwight. So I am blessed and honored to be back on the show. And today I'm going to share a few things in a small segment. I know the previous guest that was on was talking about the subject of worry. I'm going to share a few areas here that are very important, I think, that I've identified in my life about worry. Sometimes we'll see that as stress. And a deeper layer that could also apply directly to a feeling of fear, right? So I think it's important to be able to go through a process to be able to deal with these situations that come up in our life. And I'll give a couple of quick situations in my life where this has happened, where I remember I was in such a deep state of worry. One was a time where my sister got sick and she was overseas, out of the country. My family was concerned. She was in a hospital and we were having a hard time getting into communication with her, right? So all types of ideas come up in my mind about what could be going on, what could be happening. And I'm just turning that over and over, you know, daily. It's disrupting my daily activities, my feelings, even me wanting to eat and my sleep. Other aspects could be a positive type of worry, right? Like maybe you've just started a new job. Everything's going great. It's your first day at the job. And actually you start worrying about what may happen when you go there, right? It's like you're almost thinking up ideas or things that could happen. So you're like, oh, I don't want to get stuck in traffic. So I better leave early, or I need to make sure all my clothes are set up so I'm ready to go in the morning. That's actually kind of a positive way that worry can be used. Some people call that eustress, and I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. And then there's deeper levels of worry, right? It can go into deeper things like the fear of death, the fear of not having enough time, or worrying about large things in your life that you can't really see, right? Sometimes worry is really troublesome because it's something that's unseen, it's invisible. And we're actually kind of dealing with that right now around the world, right? With the onset of COVID-19 or coronavirus, this invisible threat that's being communicated to us from many different avenues, and you can't physically see it. So it can create a large sense of worry. So the first step that I've done in my life, and I suggest to a lot of my clients, and I'd like to share here on the show today, is, you know, I like to give you a picture of what worrying is like, right? And that gives us a great way to understand, okay, me doing this is equivalent to what? So worrying is equivalent to running in place. So imagine you're running, but you're going nowhere. Your legs are going up and down, your arms, you're starting to sweat. People are walking by you and they're like, man, what are you doing? And you're like, I'm worrying, right? Or if someone was asking you in another way, are you working out? And it's like, yeah, that's my workout. I just run in place for an hour. Many people would look at you kind of like, I'm not sure if that person has it all together, or why are they just staying in the same place? Why are they not doing anything? Another one would be getting in your car and just starting the car and keeping the car in park or in neutral if you have a standard car, and just revving the gas, right? The engine's just revving up and you're just holding it down. But the car's not going anywhere, you're not moving, and someone would come to you and say, hey, where are you going? And you're like, nowhere. I'm just going to rev the car up until all the gas runs out. Right? Someone would still, again, look at you and say, man, I'm not quite sure what that person's thinking about. These are all equivalents to what you're actually doing when you're worrying about something and you're not taking any actual action. And I'll get to the action steps here in a second. You're actually burning up your own energy, and that's why a lot of times people feel exhausted, they feel tired, they're just thinking things through over and over again and letting that just run in their own body, and they're not taking any real action. So the next step, and this is a powerful step, is to actually identify what you are worried about, right? And one of the best ways to do that is to write that down, is to get it out of your mind, because the mind, the brain and the body and the mind is so powerful, your imagination can kick into that and you can start to think of all types of scenarios. But when you write it down, it forces you to simplify it and actually put it into words and to say, well, you know, what am I actually worried about? You know, am I actually worried about losing my job? And you can write that down, right? I'm worried about losing my job. And then the next question would be, why? Why are you worried about losing your job? And this is going to help you vet out, in this example, are you coming up with real valid reasons of why you're worried, right? And so I may say, well, my boss told me that he's thinking about firing me. That's a pretty valid reason to be concerned, right? But it's still not guaranteed because he says he's thinking about it. But if someone just made a look at you, or your boss just came by and made an off, you know, comment or something like that, that wouldn't be enough to really say, hey, I'm going to lose my job. You start to realize now that your imagination has jumped in there, and you're starting to create scenarios that actually haven't happened. That's why it's important to identify. The next piece of that that's also important is that when you identify, you can determine, is this something that I can do something about? Or is this something I have no control over, right? So a perfect example, we can go to the larger theme going on in the world right now. Can I do anything about coronavirus personally? Can I stop it? Can I get rid of it? Can I go someplace where it doesn't exist? Nothing that I can think of, right? So I could write that down. You know, I'm concerned about my health, about coronavirus. But then you can say, well, what can I do? So what happens is now you start to realize, well, maybe I can't impact the immediate major issue, but what can I do? And then different ideas start to show up. Well, I can improve my health. I can make sure my immune system is really strong. I can research all of the things that are actually going on. I can follow the guidelines in my local community to keep myself safe and my family. I can research about the virus or the history of these things and understand more about that, right? Gain more clarity and understanding. So that what that allows you to do is to see that sometimes you can't do something about the specific major item, but there's something related to it that you can do something about, right? And this applies in a lot of different areas. And sometimes there's nothing you can do about the immediate subject at all, but you still can say to yourself, you know what? There is something I can do, and you go find it, right? It's you find something to do with that energy instead of focusing it on the thing that you don't want or that you're concerned about, and you're just moving kind of in place and worrying about that. The last item here is around what I call transforming the worry. Now, we talk about this. I've been on the show a couple of times. I've talked about the law of polarity, right? So everything kind of has an opposite or an equivalent or a map to the other side. So you have hot, you have cold, right? You have up, you have down. You have fear, you have faith. So I talk about that because faith is actually the trajectory away from worry. So worry usually relates to fear, some type of fear. Faith is going to allow you to move forward with the understanding that things are going to be okay because they've been okay up to this point. Obviously, if you're still here alive on the earth, you've done something right to get here, right? You've been through many trials and tribulations. This is just another item that you're worried about. So choosing faith can lead you out of that and can lead you again into an action that you can take with faith. So it's important to, let's recap these items, right, is to understand what worrying is, meaning it is not always going to provide benefit to you. Sometimes it could, and it just allows you to do more preparation, right? Again, you're taking action. Second, to identify what that item is. Do you have the ability to do anything about it? And even if you don't, is there something related to it that you can do something about? and then also understanding the map or what that fear or worry can transform into. It can transform into faith, courage, confidence, all those areas. And you may find your own words, right? But now you start to move forward and say, well, I can't do anything about this, but I'm going to move confidently in the area of taking care of my immune system, taking care of my family, showing love to my community, being aware of what's going on. That's where I'm going to put my energy. So that was a small little segment I wanted to share today. I appreciate being allowed the time to come on and highlight some of my experiences and my guidance on the issue of worry. And I'll pass this back to Mr. Dwight Lee. And thanks again for all the listeners out there. And my name is Jaron Keto Banks. You can reach me at Jaron, J-A-R-O-N, at DreamPowerAcademy.com if you'd like to speak with me more about some of my services and offerings, or just to have a conversation about some of the things we've talked about on this show or other shows in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Jaron. We'll be going to our next guest. She is coming to us from Australia. Her name is Katrina Frill. Katrina is a business coach for the Conscious Business Mentor to be Awakened. She is an international speaker and award-winning author of 4 books, international bestseller. For those that want to become an expert in their field of excellence through 7 streams of income, discover how to become an expert in your field of excellence and make your sole purpose a reality. Discuss your secret dreams with someone that can make them a reality. Katrina Frill is the how you have been waiting for. With no further ado, we're going to Katrina Frill.
Good morning, guys. It's wonderful to be here again with my pals. Dwight has had me on the show a number of times, and I always find it so fun. It's so wonderful just to be with like-minded people, having conversations that are deep and meaningful, as opposed to what goes on out there in the world quite a lot, which is, people are not really thinking deeply about things. They're just living on the surface, living with worrying about everything. People are worrying about things that they can't control. And in some cases, we can't even influence things. So this is one of my major principles that I teach all the time in every program, doesn't matter where I am, and that is the principle called locus of control. And so whenever you find yourself in worry, I want you to have a think about what can I control here, and just list out those things that you can control. And really the only thing that you can control is yourself and your own thoughts and feelings, and you can control your beliefs and attitude about things. So if you want to believe that COVID is going to be like worst case scenario, then, you know, you're going to spend this moment in time in a lot of worry, and you have control over what you want to think about COVID. And so, for example, I'm not in denial about COVID. I understand that it's a virus. I understand that it's scientifically they're working on looking at it under the microscope and working out what they're going to do about a vaccine. So I have no control over whether the vaccine comes or it doesn't come, or whether it's, what time frame that would come in. So I don't spend any time, any energy whatsoever thinking about that, because I'm not a scientist. It wasn't my destiny to work on this problem. So, yeah, I want you guys to think about what you can control? And what is your beliefs and attitudes around some of the things that you worry about? And I just think COVID is a great example because it's here and it's now and it's what is on the top of most people's minds. But what most people realize is worry is a complete and utter waste of time. Because it doesn't, the reason it's a waste of time is because it just doesn't change anything at all in your world. So you can sit there and worry your whole life away. And I know people that have done that. People have worried about this and they've worried about that. And they just go through their whole life worrying about everything. And apparently 75% of what you worry about doesn't actually even occur. So to me, once I learnt that, I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to waste any more time worrying about things that I have no control or influence over. But what I do want to do is focus on what I can control and what I can influence. And so now I've got it down to a fine art, and I really encourage you guys to practice it as well, is having a look at your beliefs around things and your attitude around things. And have you got the easiest and the best type of attitude to get through whatever the current issue is? And COVID's a really good example of that, where I'm not going to spend any time on it because all I can do is just look after my own health. I can control whether I social distance or not. I can control whether I wear a mask or not. I can control looking after my immune system, as Jared said. And all those sort of things, I just focus on looking after myself in that regard and making sure that the people around me that I might have influence over are doing those sort of things as well. And so once I've done all of that and I'm clear on what I can control and influence, I just let it go after that. Start to focus on things that I am going to take action on. So worry. What I learned after two burnouts before I was 25, because I was such a nervous child, I was such an anxious child, I was a little worrywart growing up. And then when I became an adult, naturally that came with me. I was still very nervy, very anxious. I'd worry about everything. And that for adults turns into control freak. And it also turns into perfectionism disease. So if you're seeing that in your life or in the life of people around you, it's because they're a little worrywarts and they're very nervous and anxious type people naturally. So after two burnouts before I was 25, I realised that I was not going to survive. I was not going to live. I'm going to die of a heart attack at 40 if I carried on burning myself out all the time. Even when I was younger, I had sort of workaholic tendencies because I'd be so worried about everything. I would overcompensate and overwork to get my take action in a over fashion. So after burning out twice before I was 25, I realised that I had to do something differently. And one of the things that I learnt was, number one, that 75% of worries don't occur, so that helped me. The other thing that I learned was locus of control and making sure that I was focusing my energies on things I could control and influence. And the third thing that really, really helps me even to this day, and that is when I go into a little bit of a worry, what I do is I take action. So if you are sitting there worrying, it means you're not doing anything, because you can't actually worry and do something at the same time. And I was like, oh, that's interesting revelation that I had inside my mind. And so I started to practice it and go, okay, so, oh, here comes a worry. I would notice what the worry was, and then I'd go and do something. And you can't be washing the dishes and worrying at the same time. You can't be hanging out a load of washing and worrying at the same time. You can't, I work from home, so naturally I could, if I was let's stay up all night. And I was unable to settle myself and I couldn't get back to sleep. Sometimes I just surrender to that and think, okay, well, I'll just go and do edit a book or do my emails late at night. I should be resting, I know that, but sometimes you just can't get to sleep. You're too buzzy, you're too excited, or you're too busy worrying. So I just get up and do something. And soon enough, you realise that you've been in the zone doing something and the worry has had to go behind the scenes. So just notice that if you are in a worry cycle, just to go and do something to get your mind off of it. And I love doing that because soon I forget about my worry and I'm able to just distract myself with something cool. Now, you can really refine this idea to suit you and your own behaviours and things that you like to take action on. So why do you think people garden? Why do you think people go to lessons and exercise and movement lessons like yoga and Pilates and meditation classes? These are all various activities. These are all various actions that people take to get away from their worries for a little while. And so, yeah, you can decide what you're going to add. But obviously, people like us want you to do positive actions, not negative actions. So negative actions to distract yourself are things like drinking, doing drugs. Some people over-exercise. I don't see how that's possible, but I believe it's an actual thing that people can over-exercise. They can overeat. There's a lot of emotional eating going on. Sometimes that can be your poison of choice, is too much food. So just, have a look at the negative actions that you're taking and have a look at the positive actions that you're taking and start to pepper more of the positive actions that you can take into your life so that you can stop worrying, because, as you know, it's a complete and utter waste of time, because while you're worrying, you're not actually doing anything about it. So then have a little look at sometimes our worries are your unconscious mind trying to talk to you, and so your unconscious mind desperately trying to get you to think about something or look at something or change something. And so it's constantly tapping inside your mind to get you to think about something. So please know the difference between when is your unconscious mind wanting you to think about something versus a worry that you have no control or influence over. If it's something external to you, like COVID, then, just relax. Get focused on things that are positive, and that's all you can do about COVID. Whereas your unconscious mind will want to talk to you about some serious issues that it wants to bring up every now and again. And so I like to just stop for a minute when I am worrying, and I like to determine, is it something that I need to look at? And as Jaren was saying about writing it down in your journal, I like to think about this as out of the dark into the light. So out of the darkness of your mind into the light, which is out into the world where the sunshine is, out onto white paper. You notice that paper is white. So out of the dark into the light onto paper. So I like to think of when you bring it out of the dark, it becomes less scary. It once it's down on paper, you realize that it's a smaller issue than what it was inside your mind. Because when it was inside the dark, it can become really huge because you've got imagination inside your mind making these scary things even scarier. And so your imagination can make something quite small into something quite big. And that's why it's so important to bring it out into the light, onto paper, into the sunshine. Get it down in your journal so that you can look at it, you can point at it, and you can see what is your unconscious mind trying to say, what's your unconscious mind trying to bring your attention to. And once you get in tune with your unconscious mind, what ends up happening is you have this two-way conversation going on at all times, and you'll be given the heads up about all sorts of things. And that's where you'll notice magic happens, like synchronicity happens, because you're now listening to your unconscious mind. So they might make you worry. Let's say you're going to the car in a car park at midnight. Your unconscious mind will say, get your keys out, walk faster, turn your light on your phone, because this is not a safe place. So that is giving you the heads up that there's danger about, and it's alerting you to the danger about that you can't see, that your unconscious mind is giving you a feeling so that you can feel it rather than see it. And so, yeah, you get in your car very quickly, you lock the car immediately, and you don't muck around, you get out of there. So that's your unconscious mind. That's when it's useful. That's when it's alerting you to things that it's important for you to take notice of. But that car park analogy is, rational. It's really rational. Like it's something to take notice of. But when something is irrational and, you've made it up yourself and it's not the wisdom of the unconscious mind, what you'll find is they are the 75% of worries that never occur, is because you're just making them up, because you're a worrywart. You're just naturally nervous or anxious. And so what happens when you're naturally nervous and anxious and a natural worrywart is you get bored and come up with new things to use your worry energy for. And when you master yourself, you actually are able to self-regulate, and you're able to separate out what is the right things to worry about and what are the waste of time things to worry about. Yeah, so have a think about that. See if you can discern between real worries, real concerns, real things that you should be focusing on and taking action on, and really notice what's not rational and of no use to you and simply there just to drain your energy away and get you distracted from what's important. So yeah, I like to think about that. And then when we really boil it down, let's really just go down from there. If everyone's aware now of the law of attraction, the vibration of what you're putting out there with all your worries is actually what you get back. So in a way, you're manifesting your worries, and that's of real concern to us who teach this stuff. We don't want you manifesting what you don't want. We want you manifesting what you do want. So until you take control of yourself and you're able to self-regulate and get some mastery over your own thoughts, you really are stuck in this vortex where your mind can just take over and create whatever worries it likes. And essentially that's what I consider to be ruining your life. You're ruining your own life. Whereas I want you to take control of that. I want you to be able to run your own race. I want you to have mastery over yourself. And I want you to be able to discern whether that's something that you need to work on and something that you need to be aware of and something you need to change in your life versus something that you've just created so that you've got something to worry about and that's distracting you from the real things that you should be really looking at. So, yeah, hopefully that's been some help to you. It's been amazing to hear Jacqueline Delarue. Her book is amazing. Get it. It's called Worry, A Worry Wart's Guide to Self-Mastery. jump onto her website, worrywart.com.au, and download yourself a copy. There's so many great exercises in that book. And Jaron and I are now going to go back to working together today. So we've got lots of work to get through today. We're putting his book together at the moment. And Dwight, thank you so much for having me back on the show. It's been fun to talk about this topic that I've been immersed in with Jacqueline for the last year. And yeah, hopefully everyone's got one or two things, even three things that they're going to work on. You know, get your journals out and start writing your worries down so you can see them and point at them. Start to take action on the right things. Start to listen to your unconscious mind, because they are so wise and they want to keep you well. So listen up to your unconscious mind. And, yeah, thanks for joining us today. It's been amazing to be here. Thanks, Dwight.
Thank you, Katrina. My pleasure. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show. And as we close, I leave with these words. Be the change you want to see. Be an agent of change. Be an ambassador of change. First you will change you, then your world, and everything in it will change. Until the next Sudden Eye Impact Show, give your mind a purpose and a goal. The purpose you give your mind and the goal that you give your mind will become the power. What do you want? Step one, decide it. Step two, believe it. Step three, see it. Step four, feel it. Step five, receive it. Step six, realize it. Step seven, actualize it. Until the next time, keep walking by faith.
Discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life, and most importantly, in business, on Sudden Eye Impact with your host, Lee.